Welcome to the Character Collective podcast, where writers talk about words and how hard they are, and our characters drop by and wreak absolute havoc. Come for the writing, stay for the stupid. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Character Collective podcast. This is Kai. Now, before we get started, get yourself ready. Go get a coffee, get a gin. If you got like those little people, put them in front of the TV, lock the door, whatever you need to do. And don't forget, we've got new episodes coming out every Wednesday. So favorite, like, subscribe, share, do all those things that you need to do. Okay, let's get queer. Let's get stupid. Strap in, strap on. Right, let's do this. Hello, everybody.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello is such a stupid word.
Yes.
What, hell?
Well, it's oh. Hell. Oh.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. Is that
words.
Is that what queers say when they die? Hell. Oh.
Yeah. No, that's what Christians say when they die.
Yeah, yeah, more to the point. That's it. Hell. Oh.
Oh.
Just a different inflection.
Yeah. Or as opposed to like hell. Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like hello.
Yeah. That is where hello comes from. Oh.
Said it before, I'll say it again. If all queers are going to hell, we're having a fucking fuck ton more fun than whatever's going on in the heaven thing where they're all bloody shooting each other. So,
yeah. It's like, what is there even to do up there? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like if I have to choose between hanging out with Christians and all of the fake shit, not all Christians, hashtag not all Christians. But, you know, all that.
Yeah.
As compared
hashtag
to
hashtag enough Christians.
Yeah. Hanging out with all my queers.
Hanging out. Yeah, it's like, but I'd rather go where I know people. Like
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm not gonna fit in up there anyway. So, you know,
yeah. I feel like let's just go to the introvert place, which is hell.
Oh.
Oh.
Anyway. That's not what today's
is
about.
That is strangely not the topic for today. We just immediately got sidetracked.
We could do a whole thing on that. Actually, it's a great book. That's a great role reversal book, actually. Interesting.
I just need a book where the title is just hell.
Oh. But have it like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, follow these paths and we'll find out if you're anyway.
I'm sure that wouldn't get banned immediately.
No, not at all.
No. He doesn't love a good protest and book burning.
See, I think that's just a great meme. Like we're talking about whole transmedia and everything, right? It's just a great image and meme to have the two pictures of like the queer hello and then the you know,
the hell. Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That would be very cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anywho, still not the
anyway.
Today.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about, because we've been going through your Blades books.
Yes.
I think that's so what happened. Yes. That's what
yes. Yes. I'm happy to talk about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so we're going to do that and then we're going to do something else. So we'll do do that for this one. So we've been going through, we're up to book,
we're up to book. We just started reviewing what I have written for book three already, which is a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
A couple of chapters with like my favorite chapter ever.
Oh, yeah. No.
Fuck, that was cool. That was so cool.
I desperately need this series to be a movie because I just want to see and hear that scene.
But yeah, like again, take that scene and do it as like a comic or something. Just that scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So fucking
Hell
cool.
yeah.
Or do it
Yep.
like a
But that's.
short film, like, you know, transmedia,
Yeah.
blah. Take that
Well,
and do
they.
a short of it.
There's no reason I couldn't do like a graphic novel of the any point in time of the
Exactly.
Blades. Like,
Exactly. Actually,
you
completely
know?
removed from the main characters, air quotes,
Yep.
and doing it from like his point of view.
Yeah. Just
Like,
anyone's point of view, like
yeah.
the Blades from whenever ago. And he's
Exactly.
definitely not the only one with that particular thing, but it's obviously not very common. So yeah, it'd be
Yeah.
interesting to just explore it a bit more as well.
Exactly. And that way you explore the religion as well. And so you follow
Yeah.
that whole pathway, which would be really good.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
So yeah, it's fun. It's fun. We talk it in code because there's stuff
Yeah, that's
and
it. We don't
yeah.
want spoilers and all that.
Yeah, I normally don't care too much about like spoilers, but like that's fun. That would be fun to
Yeah.
encounter, you know.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
So, well, what do you know, like, without too many spoilers, what do you know about
yeah.
the blades? Like, what's the background of it that people are allowed to know about?
Good question.
Mm.
I
I
before
thought
we jumped on this call, I was having a look at like, what do I have information
so.
about, like the Blades or the religion, and that sort of things. So I couldn't find a lot. I know that I have somewhere
Yeah.
some information about
Excavation
the
time.
religion and the Palatines and the different types of followers and what the different threat, like the triumphant of what are they called? Triumvirate of the gods, like
Know,
what
it's
those
your
three
book.
stand for, and I don't know. It's a real word. It's not my word.
Oh, okay.
You
Yeah.
know, it's like three gods.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a
Try gods.
triarchy. So yeah, it's a triarchy, not a hierarchy. Yeah. So yeah, I've got information about those three, how they work together, where they come up against each other, and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've definitely got stuff that I can work in. There's stuff that I, so this series I started writing like whatever, 5 or whatever years ago.
Yeah.
And it's gone through a lot of just
You were writing this
changes.
before I met you, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. Actually, do you know what? I was writing this before Luke was born.
Oh, so it's more than 5 years.
It is more than 5, it's like 9 years,
shit.
maybe probably 10 years.
Well, that's okay though, because I started writing Awakening when I was 16, and then I finished writing it when I was like 33, and
Yeah.
then I published it when I was like 36. So you're
Yeah,
okay. You're
that's
on an okay
cool.
time frame. You're fine.
Yeah. Like I don't feel like bad about having spent
Yeah.
so long on it because it's, I think having sort of left it that long, let it sort of settle and let myself settle,
Exactly.
it's going to be much better than if I'd published it 5 years ago.
Oh, fuck yeah. Exactly. But a lot more experience, a lot more education, a lot more everything. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and just a lot more comfort with like
Yeah.
ramping it up.
Yeah, that's it. Not so worried about what other people will think, and that's a good point. This is like one of those series where so when you first, because you did publish one of these books for a time
Yes.
and then you pulled it down. And when you did publish it was around the time, I think was it around the time we were doing 20 books, or like 20 books was a focus? And or is it before that?
Yeah. No, I think that I was still doing 20 books,
Mm.
sort of that sort of concept and
Yeah, so it was
back
very much
then.
about, you know, what should I do as opposed to just trusting, you know, the characters. It was probably, you know, you would have started writing it before you allowed yourself to be like, oh yeah, my characters talk to me and that's okay.
Yes. And I also, so when I started writing this series, because it was very different than what was released,
Yeah. Yeah.
it was very different. And then when I got into that sort of cyclic headspace of what do I should, what's the should, what should
Yeah.
I be doing? What are people comfortable with?
Yeah.
what is like okay to display.
What do the neurotypical people want?
Yeah. And you know, like some of the stuff that my book goes into, like it's not fun, some of it, but
messy.
You know, I got really stuck on, and I'm sure it was triggered by someone, I don't know who, probably, saying something.
Yeah.
But it was definitely triggered by someone saying or pointing out that, you know, you shouldn't do, you know, bad things to characters just to move the plot forward. And I think I got stuck on that.
Yeah, instead of, you missed the part about the plot moving forward and got stuck on the shouldn't you do bad things.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, surely, like, I can give these people motivation not by doing this. Like, it's like, no, this is not life. This is what happens.
It's not even real fucking life. If you look at, like, real life is more horrifying than any fucking book. 100%. Yeah. It is more horrifying than the worst fucking book I've ever read. As in horror, not as in, like, bad. That too. But, like, you know, the whole thing of reality is, like, fiction has to make sense. Reality doesn't have to make sense, but fiction must. That thing, I think people, like, I think what it is this idea that people read a book to escape from the crap of real life. But that's not necessarily true. People also read books to know that they're okay and know that, you know, this fucked up shit is okay. And also they read books to be like, oh, it could be so much worse.
Yeah, 100%. And I think just like
an escape into, you know, a
perfect. No, form. It's not some sweet, you know, hearts and fairies fantasy realm shit. Because I don't think I'm capable of writing that unless something real bad is about to happen.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Like, unless you're about to preamble it, like, you're using it as a preamble and being like, everything's wonderful. That it's never lasts.
Fine. Right. Everyone relax.
Fine. That's what it is. It's fine chapter.
It's fine. It's fine. It's not fine.
It's never.
But,
yeah.
But, I mean, that's something like, you know, like the main character in the Blades books, Joy, goes through a bunch of stuff and, you know, is still affected by it, you know, books later.
Yeah.
But so that was important for me to do that as opposed to going, oh, yeah, she's been through the shit and she's fine.
And she's like, and that's great.
Never speak of it again.
Yeah. Like there was, without, you know, spoilers, obviously, there was something really fucked up that happened. And then the next thing she's skipping down the stairs like nothing happened, which is what we tend to do as humans. We're fine. And then a slight being triggered fucking meltdown. And I'm like, exactly. See, that's it. That's, yeah, that's representation too. That's mental health representation, which is what the whole thing of people want an escape takes away. People don't, I don't think anyway, at least I don't. And so therefore I've got to assume that anyone that's going to read my books doesn't want a escape in like this bullshit idea of perfection and wonderful and everything's grand, because it will never, that will never resonate with us. We need messy. All we know is messy. We need messy. We need to know that we're okay even when it's messy.
Yeah. And I think it's important, like having like Joy, I mean, I think it's like book three that we're looking at this morning.
Yeah.
And you know, like she's like, from the get-go, she's this big, powerful, demonic assassin.
Yep.
But she's still getting trauma flashbacks. Yeah. She's still, it still staggers her. Like, you know, so I think it's important for people to be reading that. And, you know, unfortunately, if they do identify with that aspect of what's happening to her, you know, it can go, oh, like, you know, it's not just pretending to be everything's okay and I have to get over it and move past it.
It's also like, without, again, without trying to give away spoilers or anything, and this is not what happens, I'm just drawing a bit of a comparison here. It feels like there's almost a social commentary on, and you know how I love that, on domestic violence, where, you know, it's kind of like, be strong and leave. And it's like, this woman is so strong. She's the strongest. Mm. And there is reasons that she is not or cannot. And it's, I think that's commentary on that as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, she 100% could walk away from the situation. There is nothing physically stopping her from walking away.
Yeah.
Except
but it's not that simple.
Else there would be. Yeah. Mm. Where then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not that simple. Yeah.
No. Exactly. So, yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun angles. Well, not fun, but a lot of angles that, you know, this was just good. I'm pleased that it's not. Like, I would have been happy if it was just a fluffy escape. You know, fantasy book, but escape. I don't think I can do that.
No,
I don't. And if I'm trying to be, you know, what do I like to write and read and my characters and stuff, and like they're not clean cut, nice people, at all.
I like it messy. So, this is good.
Yeah,
I think that the fluffiest I've ever written is Wipeout. Literally the fluffiest I've ever done.
Yeah.
And, you know, spoiler alert. The way that ends, actually, no, I don't need to spoil it. Not so fluffy.
Not so fluffy.
There's a lot of there's a fucking supermarket. There's a lot. He gets fucking his ass handed to him so often. And, like, there's a fucking massive ninja fight scene, not with the ninja, but it's like I call it the ninja fight scene.
Yeah.
And, like, even though it's all fluffed up, it's still, it's not. And there is so many deeper levels to it as well. And it is fluffiest I've ever
read. The overall concept of, like, and what triggered that book and everything is, like, not a fluffy, like, escape. Like, no.
No, that's it. But, I mean, also still hilarious because it was, like, he's run out of toilet paper. The family's run out of toilet paper and they're in lockdown and he has to go and get toilet paper. But that becomes such a battle.
It just becomes, like, Mad Max sort of post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Sort of adventure journey. Fun. Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. And the next fluffiest I've ever done is probably fucking Cupid's Guide. And come on.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking, that's probably the light, not the lightest, but I don't even know if we have a setting.
You could read it as a surface.
Yeah.
You could read on the surface. And until you got to book three, at book three, you're kind of forced to go a little deeper. Mm. Because, you know, he's going through his withdrawal and all that shit. So you kind of can't really escape it. But you could read it at surface level most of the way.
Yeah. Mm. Which is fine. Because, you know, there is going to be a very small segment of people that will.
Exactly.
And, like, you know, most people will dip out. They'll go, oh, this isn't really, okay, whatever. And they'll just stop reading.
Yeah. I'm hoping with Cupid, somebody who it's not for, who's not going to get the deeper message, will read the surface and just loll at it and be like, that was fun, and walk away.
Mm.
You know?
Exactly. Lucky
you that none of that fucking deeper stuff resonated. Yay for you.
Yeah. Isn't it? They're like, I can't relate to this at all. Yeah. Good for you, honey. Yeah. That's awesome. Nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking what you were saying though as well about joy, and because I totally forgot. I just started just reflecting really quickly. So what you were saying about her it being really important to you that she didn't just get over it. So book five of First Strike, right? Nate and Steel. Mm. Those two boys have such fucking deep, intense trauma for very different reasons. Nate has a very physical trauma, and the whole book is basically them fucking not overcoming their trauma, but dealing with their trauma, like them kind of coming to terms with the trauma and being like, okay, it wasn't my fault and it's okay. But they start off very, I'm fine, it's fine, we're all fine. And it's when they start connecting with each other and learning each other's trauma that they start connecting. I didn't think about it before that I've written something like that. It didn't make that connection that I've done that thing where they've got the trauma and they're not okay. They're putting on the front of I'm fine. And Steel, right up, Steel's even got trauma around being a fucking sexual. And the whole book, he's like, oh, it's the drugs, it's the drugs, it's the drugs. And then when he comes off the drugs, major spoilers, guys, when he comes off the drugs at the end and he still doesn't have that sexual attraction and he fucking balls his eyes out. And Nate's like, it's okay. It's fine. Like, I'm still here. It's okay.
Yeah,
like even that, it's
oh, that's cool. See, that's the fun part of like looking back at stuff and going, oh, hang on a minute.
Right. Yeah, and it's going to be extra interesting to go back and edit that one, because I am coming at that one through a lot of angles of things that I don't have experience with and things that I didn't realize I did have experience with or that I do understand. I'm like, oh, I get that more than I thought. Okay.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's interesting with like, and there's definitely aspects of different characters in Blades where I'm like, oh, this is funny. And then like, I'm coming back years later going, oh wait, I see me. Okay.
Yeah. Like the number of times going through your books up to this point, because like, so we're up to like book three. So we've gone through the first two. Chapter by, okay, so what we've been doing, guys, we're going through, and this is on the mentor's recommendations, going through each chapter by chapter and looking at, like, is this chapter necessary? Like, what do you get from this chapter? Would anything change if this chapter was taken out? Are the characters necessary? Where's it located? Is there anything like super cool or interesting about it? Like a whole bunch of stuff. And we're doing that every single chapter. So getting to like where we are in your book, I can't remember what I was going to say.
What?
What were we talking about?
I don't know.
I lost my thought in the explaining of what we're doing for the peoples.
We were talking about. Fuck. Nope. Damn, I just had it. About how in going through chapter by chapter, there are lots of examples of stuff. I'm trying to prompt myself.
Yeah, I was going to say. Gone. It's so fucking gone.
Anyone? Someone's shouting at their.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Car stereo right now. I'm so sorry.
No, it's gone. If it comes up again, I'll let you know. Anyway, how about them bits?
Yeah.
Fuck me.
And I had like distraction behind me as well, so that broke my thing.
It's like, wait, I need to explain to people what we did so that this next part makes sense, and then I don't know what the next part was. But it would have made sense.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
What were you talking about?
So,
yeah.
Saying, having gone through the books up to this point, and we're halfway, well, at the start of book three. No, I don't know.
So we were talking about examples of when the characters do stuff. Oh, no, examples like when we go through and you can like, oh, that's you.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. That's the one. Well done. I'm impressed. I was going to say, it's surprising how many times like we've stopped. I've been like, oh, I don't see you in that at all. What are you talking about? How did you know this? Like, this doesn't sound like you. This does not resemble you at all. What?
Exactly. It's just like, oh, just so much self like seeping through into the story.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's intense. Yeah. I hear child.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Mom. is he coming in?
Hopefully not.
Okay, cool. All right. He's just gonna call mum from outside.
I might just mute this while he's doing that. Wait, yeah, continue.
What's he doing?
No, just talking words.
Oh, okay. We can't hear him. Well, I can't hear him.
Okay.
So, that's fine. And he'll probably get taken out in the tiny little edit that I do just to remove background noise. So
cool. Nice. Never mind then.
Huh?
Never mind then.
Yeah, it's fine. Talk away. We'll just remove you. So what was the point? Like, what's the point of what we're doing? Why are we doing it?
Overall, the chapter by chapter?
Yeah. Like, what was the mentor's, like, going back to your mentor and the original thing of the logic. Doing it, like, what was...
Yeah, it's really to just get that overview, point of view, like stepping back from being trenching through the words.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like when you go and editing, you're like, word, 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 word. Yeah. It's taking the big back step from that, going, okay, let's look at the story. Let's look at, okay, these locations, let's say. And we went through this with Escape from Sherwood, and we were like,
yes, you did.
Okay, we identified why locations were important, which were important, what they stood for.
Yeah.
And just having that awareness of that for me in editing has been very useful.
Yeah.
Like I can give emphasis to a location or, so, you know, not depending on whether I want to highlight that or which character it relates to, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And just knowing how other characters interact with locations and objects, knowing that they're associated with specific characters.
Yeah. I like that. I think I might do that through taking the field, just like a quick run through of that. Because I think if nothing else, it'll be very interesting to see what comes out of it. Yeah, and I think that's been what's been interesting.
And even like we've been going through and going, like, because I thought, I mean, honestly, I went into this and I will do this every time, go, oh, this is so much is going to need to be changed and this is really rough.
Yeah.
And like, it's not. It's way better than I thought.
Exactly.
Which has been good to go through and do that for that reason.
Yeah.
But also, like, I have still made a ton of notes about, you know, highlight this thing, emphasize this person being a dick.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, yeah, just, that's it.
Yeah.
Bring out these character elements. And I have done that with taking field off the beta reading, beta reader feedback, actually.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of things of, like, make sure that this thing is clear, or, like, build this part of, like, you know, Henley's character a little bit more, or show this or show that. So. So it'd be interesting to go through each chapter with these specific questions and see what else is missing. Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely found it very useful.
Mm.
And even though it just sounds like I'm essentially reading you my book, it's actually, yeah, very, very useful.
Yeah. No. Well, but that's it. It's like you're not reading it. You're like basically giving me the you know, the Cliff Notes version. This is what happens in the scene. But it still feels like I've read the book. Like it's kind of weird. Like it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Because I know there's like bits where I'm like, oh, I really like this bit of dialogue. I have to read you this bit, this exchange, that sort of thing.
Very cool.
If nothing else, it has made me really like the books again.
Good.
So that has been.
It's getting better and better too.
Really good.
Like that's the cool thing about it. Like, I'm like, oh, I love this one. No, I know I love this one. No, I love this one.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that's what you want.
Upward trajectory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Especially like we were mentioning, like it's a 4-book series.
Yeah.
You know, and we just got to book 3 and we're both like, damn, book 3 is awesome so far.
Right.
It's like, book 3 is normally the shit one. Up
big time.
Yeah.
It was unexpected.
Book 3 is normally. Like, but that's why it's fun.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
People, like, you read book 3s of series and you're like, oh, this just links that to, you know, there's usually a massive turning point at the end of book 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're like, and you're just waiting for book 4.
Exactly. You're like, ah, just get book 3 through. Like, it's just, you know, a bunch of stuff, but not this one. What I also like is that if you normally have 3 or 4 books and like, slow burn, you'll have, you know, some surface stuff develop and a bunch of stuff happen, and then the relationship will be more focused on later. Like you see that in a lot of movies as well. The relationship is focused on later, whereas this, it feels like the relationship building and relationships themselves were focused on so much in this first two. It's like coming to the third one, it's like, okay, now let's get some shit happening because we've established how they're going to, you know, how they're going to come at this together. And we were saying, like, with the stuff we were going through today too, it was developing that hierarchy, making it very clear, because the hierarchy is so different to the first book. Well, it's not, but the apparent hierarchy in the first book has dissolved.
And it's basically like the stated hierarchy.
Yeah.
Like book 1, it was like, this person's in charge. I'm in charge. It's like,
And then as the relationships developed and they started seeing each other as well. So it's not just that you get to know them and you go, oh no, this person's in charge. It's the actual back and forth and the relationship development that changes. Mm. Oh wait, no, they were never in charge.
Yeah, exactly. It sort of makes you go, hang on a minute.
Mm.
Yeah. Very which is cool. Good. And even, you know, like the relationship. Mm. Yeah, please. With the two brothers, like their relationship.
Yeah, like, I fucking love that.
Tons, like changing. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
Because they start off not very brotherly.
No. And it's really, it's not too. On
the same property.
Sort of recently that they've been more like brotherly banter, that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then they're very good.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing that we're going to be doing with it is not planning out the rest of book three and book four, but rather looking at the elements and kind of, I guess, gathering a toolbox that you can utilize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to basically do, I think the character chart or whatever would be super important.
Yeah.
Especially because each book expands physically, like outwards away from the estate. Mm-hmm. It's the locations and the new characters that are being introduced.
Yeah.
I need to keep track of them. I want to make sure I don't mention someone and then forget them. Like, I don't want to forget Victor. Like, I need Victor to come back.
Oh, God, like, Victor has to come back.
Yeah.
Victor's amazing.
Yeah. So there's, the Admiral?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, there's so many people that have to come back.
Yeah. Well, that's it, because they were there and they had an impact, but you don't necessarily know what the impact is yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
And hopefully the readers will not feel like reading it and then not like that person hasn't been mentioned again for a while. Yeah. It's not like, oh, they forgot this. Like, trust that it's going to have a
point. Exactly. So my fucking super brilliant example of this, and I say super brilliant even though it's my own book, because to this day I'm like, I don't know how it happened, but fuck, it was perfection. At its absolute finest, is Jordan in Awakening.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So in Awakening, Rebecca goes off to look for, you know, look for Zach, and she comes across this feral vampire, Jordan. Names her Jordan. She doesn't even have a name, so she names her.
Yeah.
She's feral. She's been living in this hospital. Her and major spoilers coming, guys. Been living in this little abandoned warehouse near a hospital. For her entire life, as far as she knows, because with my vampires, they lose all memory of their humanity when they rise. And so there's this random, like, fucking chapter where Rebecca's there with this vampire and a bunch of shit happens. She realized this vampire is fucked up and he's just killing people randomly. So Rebecca's like, I'm going to fuck her up and kill her. And so she actually learns from this vampire kind of how to kill them. So she learns some stuff from her, but it wasn't enough for it to have been huge. I was like, it just seemed like such a random scene. So she goes in there, she's like, meets this chick, she's like, yay, another vampire, this is cool, hanging out. Oh wait, you're fucked up and messy and you're killing people, that's not good, so I'm going to save them by killing you. But in a way that doesn't actually kill her very quickly. and then that's it. And Rebecca leaves. And there's nothing more about this Jordan chick until like part three, like way down the towards the end of the book. And they've found this vampire, like Rebecca's been knocked out or what, I can't remember, but like Rebecca's like sitting there and Zach's like, you know, or Abby's like, we found this vampire, this other chick, like, I want you to meet her. And it's fucking Jordan. And she's like, get that fucking thing away from me. And Jordan's like, how are you being so nasty to me? You tried to kill me. Like, oh my God, what did I do? And so Jordan becomes pivotal in the actual final battle. because the firsts have basically been like, given her a deal, you help us to get rid of them and we'll kill you, basically is the deal. Because she's like, I just want to die. Somebody fucking kill me. Just kill me properly, let me die. They're like, okay, we'll kill you. You help us do that and we'll kill you. So she helps them. They don't win. And the very last part of the book is Jordan is in a pit where she can't eat or whatnot. So she's going to basically slowly starve to death. And Rebecca's like, you know, save yourself if you can, and walks away. That's how it ends. So this one character that just turned up for a random scene ends up being pivotal in the turning point of the book and then becomes oh, huge spoilers, guys. If you ever read this book, pretend you didn't hear this because I'm just going to give
your ears.
Turns out to be Ellie from Human Threads. So she is actually the connecting point between Awakening and Human Threads. She was around before Awakening. It turns out she died in childbirth near the hospital, which is why she woke up near the hospital. And I won't do the biggest spoiler. Believe it or not, that was not the biggest spoiler. And she's actually through the entire Human Threads as both Ellie and Jordan until the end. And it blows my mind that this character that turned up for one chapter ended up being the thread of everything, Human Threads.
That is so good. It's, I love that.
Crazy. So I'm just saying, be careful what you hope for, what you wish for with Victor. He might run away with your books and then create another series.
He can do that. He can 100% do that.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
Yeah. Literally, Human Threads came from the moment of realization of Jordan's connection to the main characters. Like, it hit me when I was drinking coffee.
Yeah.
And that whole series was born from that one little bit of knowledge. So, man. So, yeah, I'm just saying, be careful.
Oh, I, you know, may or may not have another three books after this. I know exactly what happens in them. So, yeah.
But I love it. Now, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
And you might have already told me, so I apologize if you have. How, because all of our worlds, they seem to connect, right?
Yeah.
So how does this one connect in with Chaos Divide? Does it?
It does. Yes. Of 100%. Course. Duh. I did not know that at first, but once I realized the connection, I could not laugh. It's,
Can so you good. Share it or is it too much of a spoiler?
Nah, I can't.
Okay.
I will share it with you.
Yeah.
Later. Okay. But yeah, no. Nah.
Can you give me a hint? Can you drop like a name or a word or something that would hint without giving it away?
Okay.
Yeah.
This is hopefully confusing for everyone. Except for you. Okay. The name that I can do, which is the connection, is Salandra.
Salandra. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is good. And I like that it's not straightforward and go, you know.
Yeah, I will check in with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy to go into more details.
I feel like I might know, but I'm not 100%. So that's good. Which means everyone out there's like, got no idea.
Yeah. It's great.
Oh, that's wicked. Awesome. So anything else on, because we've got 2 minutes. Anything else on your adventures with the blade?
No, just that they've been super valuable. Mm-hmm. I was convinced that it was just a hot mess. It's an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah. Now that you know it's not a hot mess and that you're on to book 3 of 4.
Yeah.
Knowing that you still got to work out what the hell still has to happen and whatnot, are you feeling publication this year, next year? Like,
What are you feeling?
Oh, yeah. Definitely this year. Excellent. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And like, so there's no real need for structured release, I guess, for this series.
Yeah.
So, you know, it might all just be dumped at one time. Who knows?
Yeah. And you've already got new covers too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's all ready to go.
Amazing.
Yeah. And yeah, book one and two are both being edited at the moment. So, yay.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
That is super exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, mm-hmm. we'll leave that one there.
Yep. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Wrap that up.
Hopefully you guys got something out of it. I don't know. Whatever. You listen into our mm-hmm. conversations or whatever.
Yeah.
You listen in and if you get anything out of it,
be there. Yeah, if you want to get something out of it, go buy the books.
All
you can get them.
The books.
All of the books.
Links are in the thing.
Yep.
Okay, we're gonna go now.
Okay.
Bye.
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 Hey, thanks for joining us for this episode of The Character Collective. If you have any questions, suggestions, feedback, especially fanfic or fan art, email us at character.collective.podcast@gmail.com. Or if you're using Anchor, just send us a voice message. We'll have new episodes coming out every Wednesday, so before you go, make sure you click off for notifications. On Spotify, click follow. On Anchor, click favourite below. Also, don't forget to share this with your writer and reader friends. All right, let's do this.